one more time with your family? And how many of you want your family to be more interested in your business? And how many of you want both? Okay, then you are in the right place. Our names are Devin and Ethan Boyd, and we're here to show you how to get your kids interested in real estate investing. First, I'd like to thank Vina and Oria for having us here today. Next, I'd like to thank all of you. They say 80% of success is just showing up. And looking at the size of the room, some people are not awake enough for this yet. But you are all here, and so you're already 80% of the way there. Now, how many of you would like to hear just a little bit about my brother and I, and why there's a couple of teenagers on stage? Yeah? Well, when I was 5 years old, I decided to invest in what I knew, which at the time was Legos. Then, by the time I was 7, I started buying real estate. At 11 years old, I published my first book, If I Can Do It, So Can You. Now, I'm 16 years old, own 46 units, and am a best-selling author. And I am Ethan Woolman. I, too, started investing in real estate when I was 7 years old. When I was 12 years old, which was actually at this conference a year ago, I published my book, The Treehouse. I am currently 13 years old and own 39 properties. Now, let's get started today by talking about why would kids be interested in business? Well, what is it the kids want? They want to play games, they want to have fun. So, turn business into a game. A great example of this was when my dad was teaching me how to reconcile. I went up and asked my dad, hey dad, will you come play with me? And I was just 2, 3, 4 years old at the time. And he said, all right, Devin, come over here and sit in my chair. And what you're gonna do is, it's just like the game memory. You're gonna match this thing here to this thing up here. And if they match, you're gonna put a little check mark there. And then when you're done, go all the way down that list. If that number at the bottom is 0, you win. And that was how my dad taught me how to reconcile his bank accounts. But he just turned it into a game. Another great example of this is the board game Cash Flow, which my family played every Friday night for years, and we are still doing that. In fact, this weekend, while my brother and my mom, who's in the back, are teaching the Youth Academy, at the end of the day, every day, we're gonna be playing a game of Cash Flow. Exactly. And Cash Flow, for anyone who hasn't heard of it, is a great game about business and investing. But when we were kids, we just saw it as this fun board game. And then when we actually wanted to get started in real estate, we were just playing that game, but in real life. So this was fun for us. And then we also saw the benefits of passive income and of freedom. Like, when I was 7 years old, I started buying this. What do you think I really wanted at that time? Probably, yeah, more toys, more Legos. And I didn't really like working to earn the money to buy them. Keep in mind that neither of us have ever gotten an allowance from our parents. If we wanted money to buy something, we had to earn that, either by working for them, doing things like reconciling, or we could say, invest and make money that way, or start a business. And that whole business thing sounded way better than working in a job to me. Which I'm betting it does for a lot of you, being that you're here. So I thought I could do some of these fun things. I could play that cash flow game in real life while working less and making some more fun money. Ethan, what about you?
Well, I had seen that my parents had the freedom to take me out and do fun things. They could take me flying to go out to Cedar Point or just take me out to go out to lunch in the middle of the day any day. But I had heard from my friend's parents that their parents had to stay home all day or had to go out and work all day, so they couldn't have much time to spend with them. And I thought, how come my family has all this freedom to go out and do this fun stuff. Whereas my friend's parents, and like I see in movies, they had to work all day. That's when I learned about passive income, and that's how I got my interest in real estate pretty much. And since I've been learning about real estate by going to meetings like this and weekly breakfast meetups every week, playing the game Cashflow, like you mentioned, since I've been learning from that, it had just become natural for us to eventually want to start investing.
Exactly. And you just briefly mentioned, our parents brought us to investment meetings. They started taking me to their weekly breakfast, which then became dinners, in a baby carrier. Yeah, really. And so we grew up around this. They brought us up around it. And so we were learning about this. We were surrounded by it. So we've been going to weekly breakfasts for years. We've been playing cash flow, really being integrated into the business. Then we want to get started. How does a kid get started in this? Well, I, at the great old age of 5 years old, decided, you know what, it's time for me to start investing. And so I go up to my dad and I say, Dad, I think it's time for me to start investing. What can I invest in? And he told me, well, I'll tell you what I tell everyone. Invest in what you know. But Dad, the only thing I really know is Legos. Great, find a way to invest in that. So I went out and found a way to invest in, yeah, Legos. And I did that. I had seen that Lego retires their sets or stops making them. And after that, the price goes up frequently as much as double. And I also heard the phrase, buy low, sell high. So if I could buy for the lower price and sell for the higher price, I could make money that way. That sounds good. Now, which set do I buy? Which set do I invest in? Well, let's go through the oldest set I can think of. That's probably going to be retired next. And that's the Lego Death Star. So I started saving up money to buy that. But I didn't think I was saving up money fast enough. So I said, hey, let's get a partner. Ethan, do you want to partner with me?
Yes, I'd love to. I mean, I have no idea what that means to do this investing thing, because I'm only 3 years old. But my brother gets to be, I feel included. What a problem. I was that, younger than him, and didn't make as much money as even he did. So we still weren't saving money fast enough.
And then Lego retired the set. So yay, I correctly guessed before they were going to retire soon. Unfortunately, we didn't save money fast enough, and by the time we got the set, it cost an extra $100, which was a lot of money for us at the time. But we still got the set, the price went up a bit more. All right, so a bad thing happened, but we can still make some money from this. And it came time to sell, and we decided, no, we don't want to waste money, go to the professional eBay, because they charge a 10% commission. No, let's go to the cheap option, Craigslist. And so it wasn't going to sell as fast. And then what I didn't expect happened. Lego released a new version of the same set. And the value of ours went back down to about what we had paid for it. So we didn't make money from this deal, but we did learn some valuable lessons. We learned that if you're going to partner with someone, make sure they bring what you need. Number two, hire professionals. As Mark Dolfini would say, if you think hiring professionals is expensive, try hiring an amateur. And finally, we learned the importance of being creative and taking action. Then, a couple years later, I decide, all right, now I'm 7 years old, I think I'd like to start buying real estate. And so I go to my dad and he tells me that first I need to read Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki, which is a great book, by the way. And then I also need to go to this Oria convention. And so I went here and learned some things. And that first year I was actually in the youth academy that now my family teaches. So I'm learning these things and I'm about as ready as anybody ever is to start buying real estate. and I go out and I'm looking for a deal and I actually find one. And it's a motivated seller, even if I didn't know what that term meant at the time. It is that the house is worth like $80,000 and they're selling it for just $50,000 if I can close quickly because they have a loan coming. And that difference, because it's worth $80 and they're selling it for $50, that would create a lot of equity, as it's called. And so that's how I got a loan from a private lender, because I was 7 at the time, and banks don't tend to lend to people that are under 18. And by don't tend, I mean they do not lend to people that are under 18. So I have to use more creative solutions, like private lenders, which I didn't use for this deal.
Owner financing, subject to, which they were teaching in this room yesterday.
Exactly. But I got that loan, and I still own that property today. In fact, that will be paid off, I believe, next year, which will start paying the payments on my truck, which I didn't set up that time frame. That was my dad. Thank you, Dad, for helping with that.
Welcome.
And that's how I bought my first one. Ethan, what about you? How did you get started?
Well, I had learned from going to these events and weekly breakfasts and stuff that it's nice if you own your properties in an LLC for multiple reasons. So I started an LLC and I put $1,000 into it. I then went out looking for a house to buy and ended up finding a mobile home. I then bought it with that $1,000, cleaned it up, and then someone who had worked for my mom's management company had called and said, hey, are you willing to sell that for $2,000? And since I had only bought it for $1,000 and I didn't really do any repairs, I just cleaned it up, selling it for $2,000 was a pretty good deal. It's that buy low, sell high. So after I sold that, I then went out and looked for a house to buy. This time, hopefully I have a credit. And someone who, a contractor that had worked for my dad, owned this 6-unit, and he wasn't managing it correctly. The water lines had frozen and broken and water damaged 2 units. He was behind, wasn't paying his lenders. He just wanted to be out. He was just done. And he called my dad and told him that. And then when my dad told me that, I thought, it might be cool if I bought a 6-unit for my second deal instead of a house. But there's no way that $2,000 would be enough to buy the 6-unit. But I really wanted it. So I did my due diligence. I figured out that he was behind on his mortgage payments. I figured out who he owed those mortgage payments to. There were actually 2 mortgages on it. One of them was to my homeschool evaluator and friend from Maria Group. But the second one was from a lady that I had never met, which kind of scared me because I would have to ask her if I could take home the loan. And I'm 7 at the time. So I started by talking to my homeschool evaluator. And she told me that if I paid the past 2 payments, that she would let me take over the mortgage as is right now. Luckily, the $2,000 from the mobile home would be just enough to cover that. And I told her that if I could get a deal worked out for the second mortgage, then I would buy it and pay her that week. Now, all I have to do is talk to a lady that I had never met and convince her to let me take over the mortgage. So I asked my dad to call her because I was scared that she wouldn't take a 7-year-old seriously. And my dad said, hey, my son wants to take over the mortgage on this 6-unit. I think he forgot to mention that I was 7, but she invited us over to her house anyway. And my dad had always told me that people do business with people who they know, like, and trust. So I decided she should get to know, like, and trust me. We had talked for a bit at her kitchen table, and I had realized that she knew my grandpa. My grandpa wasn't even in real estate, he was just a friend of hers. He was a dentist in a very, very small town, and she had worked for that same town. I was lucky that everyone in that town knew everyone else, and that she had liked and respected my grandpa. And also, one more thing to note, she wasn't getting paid by the contractor. Like, I had asked her, hey, when's the last time you got paid? And she told me that she had never gotten a payment, and that it had been about 3 years. I'm like,
great.
But she already wasn't getting paid, so she didn't really have anything to lose. If she let me take over, even as a 7-year-old, then she at least had a chance of getting paid. It's kind of like you had for your first deal. You had that gap between what the property was worth and what they were selling it for.
And either they got the mortgage payment for my deal, they either got the mortgage payments, or they got a house that was worth far more than the mortgage. So they won either way. And for your deal, either you start making the payments and everything would turn out well, or she at least wasn't in any worse a position than she was before.
Exactly. And so, after some negotiation where she would lower the interest rate from 10% to 5%, then I would be able to buy it and pay her back in 7 years. And once she agreed, that made me feel just awesome, to where I negotiated to buy a 6-unit for only $2,000 as a 7-year-old. And like I mentioned before, the reason that the contractor wanted to get rid of the 6-unit is because there was water damage in 2 of the units. And once I took over the 6-unit, I started to fix those up. But I didn't look at it as a job. I didn't look at it as, oh, I have to go and fix this up. I thought of it as, yay, this is another, like, I fixed up plenty of my dad's properties with them. This is every other Saturday. I get to go out and spend a weekend with my family, and this time it's actually fixing up one of my houses. Yay! And one of the best parts of doing that was there's an old waterlogged drywall that had to be removed, and I had just learned a sidekick in my karate class. So I got to kick down that drywall, which was probably one of the most fun times I've ever had rehabbing a property. But the point is that I looked at it in a fun way. It comes back to make it fun for your kids if you want to get them interested.
Find out what they like and let them do that. And then hire out all of the other stuff that they really don't like to do. That's part of how you make it more fun for them.
Let them do the fun stuff, kicking down drywall and whatever. And then hire out the boring stuff like sanding drywall and hanging drywall.
Exactly. Now, we've each talked about how we each started buying real estate, a little bit about why we were interested in it. Are any of you wondering, like, is this even legal? Maybe, but they can't sign contracts. They can't buy a house. They're under 18, right? Any of you wondering that? A couple of you? Well, a lot of people ask us this. And first of all, we are not lawyers, we are not accountants, we are teenagers.
This is not legal or accounting advice. I'm sure there are plenty of people who are at this convention. Go talk to them.
Exactly. But beyond that, from what we've learned, or however I need to phrase that so they don't get sued, contracts with a minor are illegal, and a minor means someone under 18. They're legal but not enforceable. So, 100% legal, just not enforceable, which means banks will not lend to us. That being said, we can still do other things, like we mentioned earlier. We can use private lenders, we can use subject to, we can use owner financing, and I'm sure there are plenty of other things that you can learn about at this conference. Another thing, we use LLCs, like Ethan mentioned. Nobody asks the age of a company. And finally, there's not, if you don't write your age on a purchase agreement or a deed, they wouldn't even know what age I am when I own it.
Now we've got those questions out of the way.
Yeah, continuing on, why did we continue to grow? Like, sure, we bought our first property, but how did we go from there? Like, sure, we bought our first one, but then I'm sure we realized, hey, this is a lot harder than they make it sound as, what would John Burley call it, seminar lands? And it was significantly harder, so why didn't we continue? Well, we started growing more and more because, first of all, we wanted to get over 10 units because it gets way easier after that. If you own one unit and it goes vacant, then you're 100% vacant, and that's not comfortable. But if you get over 10 and one goes vacant, then you're at 90, then you're still all the way up at 90% occupancy.
Still not comfortable.
Yeah, not always comfortable.
Not always comfortable, but it's a lot better.
Exactly. Then we kept buying more after that. That way we could make more money, which for me might have meant more Legos.
Which for me at the time would probably be Avgas to help us fly around and go to more events like this, or new tires for my four-wheeler.
Exactly. And then how did we continue? A lot of people get stuck at whatever, a certain number of units, and it just can't seem to grow anymore. Maybe it's become like a full-time job for them. They don't have time for anything else. Well, we hire people. Fun fact, I couldn't drive until earlier this year.
I'm 13, I still can't drive.
And so we basically had to hire people. Because, trust me, there is no way I'm getting my dad out of bed in the middle of the night to go fix a broken toilet.
I definitely wouldn't want to deal with it in the morning after that.
Exactly. So we pretty much had to hire people, and that let us grow easier and faster. This is one of the things I talk about in my first book, If I Can Do It, So Can You.
Speaking of which, you said you had written that book at 11 years old. So you're buying real estate and you're writing books. Who here wants to know why he would write a book?
What was that in the back? Bells. Alright, well, this actually wasn't the first book I've written. The first book I wrote was when I was 2 or 3 years old, and it was called Devin, Devin, Devin. And that was the only 3 words in the entire book, because that's the only word I knew how to spell at the time. But that was my first book, nonetheless. Then, a few years later, I write another book. It was a book on dragons. I had made up these stories about dragons. We didn't like how I would frequently forget the stories that he'd come up with. So I decided, you know what, let's write them down. Let's put them in a book. And I never published that, but that was my next book. Then, I'm 10 years old. I'm sitting in the front row of this very conference, and there's a speaker on stage that was talking about how you should write a book, and it makes you stand out, and it can be like a really big, really impressive business card, and you can also use it to help teach people. And I was thinking, well, my dad tells me every night to dream about making the world a better place. You know what? Maybe this is how we do it. If I write a book, and that helps people learn, that can make the world better. Plus, I've written books before. How hard could it be? Harder than you might expect. But either way, I decided, all right, let's write the book. And I made a deal with my dad. All right, I talked to him and he told me, all right, I'll pay for the publishing course that the guy was selling, but you have to write the book and have it published before the next OREA comes around. So I had 1 year to do this. And me, as a teenager, of course procrastinated for parts during that.
When he says teenager, he means 10-year-old, but you know, close enough.
Same thing. And so I was literally ordering books on the way to OREA the next year. But I did get that book published. And that was my first book, and I wrote this one. And it actually talks about how I got started investing and works as a pretty good how-to guide for anyone that wants to get into real estate. And I'd given that out to a lot of people and sold it to some people, and that was all cool. And then I was at the Rebel Capitalist Live conference in Texas, and I met Mark Victor Hansen, the author of Chicken Soup for the Soul and 1 Minute Millionaire. And my parents are telling me how he sold like 500 million books, and I can't even comprehend that number. That is a lot of books. And I was like, all right, I've got to give this guy a book. And so I go up and give him a book, and then that night or whatever, I'm talking to him, And he's telling me, you know, you've got to write another book, and then I've got a new publishing company, we'll publish it for you. And I'm like, wow, that sounds really cool. And so I read a second book, and this one's called The Garage. It's a fictional story for kids, because, well, I want to help kids. I want to work on kids. My first one, it was great for adults, but no kid's going to read a how-to book on real estate, or at least most of them won't. But, you know, if I make just a fun story that maybe happens to teach a couple of the same lessons, yeah, a lot of kids would like that. As I was talking about earlier, you have to make it fun for kids. Well, let's do exactly that. Let's make it fun. That's what we're doing. It's especially, we're doing that at the Youth Academy. We wanted to help kids and teach kids and make it fun for them. That making fun, that's why we're playing cash flow at the end of each day. So that is, that's why I wrote that book, how I wrote it. Ethan, I think you were the next one to write a book. How did that happen?
So that goes back to a while ago. I didn't really like writing. I wasn't that good in English class, and I'd seen my brother write his first book, If I Can Do It, So Can You, which I just wanted to talk about then. And he had that deal with his dad where he had a year to write it, and you know, being the 10-year-old he was with the 10-year-old problems that we all have, no one's perfect, especially not us. There was some procrastination in there, and it took you until like the last minute ordering books on the way to the next OREA convention. And I've seen you been stressing out about that, and it seems like that had been all you did that year. Like, you had just spent all your time writing that book, to where I even caught up to you in properties. That was scary. Not competitive at all. And I had seen you do that, and once you were done, you just giving your book out as a 100-page business card. I'm like, I already have a business card. Why would I spend a year of my life writing something that I already had? It wasn't until a couple years later at this event, networking in the hallways, where we had met John Murphy, and you had given him a book. And he was so impressed that you had written this book and done all this stuff, to where he invited you to a conference on the other side of the country, and I had to stay home. He looked at me and he said, "Devin, you're invited and you can bring a chauffeur." So of course I look at my mom and say, "Sorry mom, Dad has an airplane." And I'm just sitting here like, there is no way I'm going. And that was weird to me. That was the first time where my family was invited to a conference and I wasn't. We had gone everywhere as a family. We do everything as a family. But I had to stay home, and that really hit me. I'm like, maybe a book is more than just a 100-page business card. Then, fast forward a couple years, where we meet Mark by networking, and he offers you, like, hey, write a book, and we'll publish it with our publishing company. And then you write your book, The Garage, publish it, and then he gives me the same deal. He says, "Hey, Ethan, I see that you haven't written a book yet. Let's fix that. You write a book, and I'll publish it with my publishing company." And since he is the best, like, such a good bookseller, sold over 500 million books, billion with a B, I figured this is probably one of the best opportunities I'm ever going to get. I can't pass this up. And after I started coming up with ideas for the book, which I decided to go for a fun fictional book, same as Devin, because I like teaching kids. And after I started coming up with ideas for the book, I actually realized that this is actually quite fun. I get to use all the fun ideas that I come up with in my head and actually write them down. Kind of like you did with your Dragon book. It was just putting my fun ideas on paper and then getting some lessons in there to help teach kids. And I would say one of my favorite parts of the book is, well, when we were kids, which what I mean by that is when we were younger kids, I like to watch these TV shows like The Flash, Arrow, Supergirl, which sadly I think they've all stopped making shows, but that's besides the point.
every once in a while, they would have these crossovers where you'd have all the main characters from all the TV shows, or at least some of the TV shows, get together into one super crime-fighting group to fight off whatever world-ending crisis was happening that time. And I was always looking forward to that, because that was my favorite part of this, all the series is. And I thought, you know, you never see that being done in books. What if we do that? So I did just that. In my book, The Treehouse, there is a crossover between my main character, Darius Knight, where he meets your main character of your book, Atlas Gold. And I believe you also have a crossover in your second book in the Garage series that just came out today or yesterday. How can you tell us more about that?
So, after my first book came out, Ethan published his book, and I started writing a sequel to my book, my Garage book, that is. And I was like, all right, let's write another book, let's have some more fun, maybe write a little bit of mystery into this one. Like, a couple of drones go missing, what are we gonna do about that? And then also add some more lessons. And you know what, Ethan did a crossover and that was awesome. How about I do that? And so chapter 17, Atlas is learning a bit about investing because he wants to invest some of the money that he's made. And of course, he ends up running into somebody that invites him to a real meeting. Because he had just went to the stockbroker's office and was like, that doesn't sound that great. I mean, I'm investing in three different things. It's very similar. But real estate, that sounds cool. And he goes there and actually crosses over to Ethan's book. He meets Ethan's main character, Darius Knight, at that meeting. And that book is called The Fall and Rise of Atlas Gold. I'm not sure if you can see this from there. And that book just came out yesterday and is on Amazon, and if you get it now, it's like only 99 cents for Kindle. Ridiculously cheap.
Only for a limited time.
Exactly. But yeah, just came out, trying to get to number one. I think it's number two on Amazon at the moment, so.
It just fell to three.
I fell to three. Line.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I'm sure a couple of people will think, hey, that's cool, my kid or grandkid or niece or nephew, or maybe I'm young and I might enjoy it, so I'll get the book, and then we'll go up to number one. But that is our book, that is a bit of our story. Are any of you wondering, like, all right, this is great, we've done some cool stuff, how can your family do this? Right? Well, first, reading books, learning about this, or books to get your kids interested, like our books, The Garage, The Treehouse, The Fall and Rise of Atlas Gold. Great books to give to your kids, teenagers, all of that. And that. And when they're reading that, it's a fun story, but also talks a little bit about business. Like, maybe the kid's not going to be super interested in starting a business, but maybe they would be interested in, hey, let's just do what these characters are doing. All right, that sounds fun. You can also, for all the adults in the room, my parents have a great book about how they raised my brother and I. Family Success Triangle. We also have a radio show where you can learn a lot more about this, about raising kids, about running a business, about having more freedom. And we talk about a bunch of different things, including business, family, integrating the two, lots of different topics, and maybe a kid won't care about some of them as much, like how to hire a property manager. But, you know, the kids, listen with your kids to some of the things they might be interested in, like what it's like becoming a pilot.
I know that's one of our latest episodes, one of them, with Josh Shearer, where we talked about flying and some of the things that I like in flying. And I think one of our latest that came out on the first of this month is actually an episode with just you and I talking about kind of what we're talking about right now. So,
exactly. And we have family episodes, and then we bring on guests to teach you who you need to be and what you need to do to have everything you want out of life. Now, I think we have a bit of time. We have a lot of time, so.
What kind of show is that?
If that is the Real Power Family Radio Show, which I believe we have a QR code. If you go to the bookstore afterwards, next to the coffee, you have the QR codes for all of our books and for the radio show, or come up to any of the members of our family. We all have business cards we can give out to you with that. And I have a lesson, I believe. How long does this go? Until 10 o'clock or 9:30?
20 minutes.
Okay. So yeah, we have plenty of time for questions if anyone has questions. Yep.
You mentioned the cash flow game. Is there one that's geared for kids at the younger level, or is it for
He asked, we were talking about cash flow. Is there one more geared for kids? And there is a cash flow for kids game. Like, if your kids don't know how to add yet, they have one where you're just moving little shapes and squares, triangles of different colors, so it makes it real easy for them. And then, once they learn some basic math, they can move up to the Cashflow 101 game.
And that's kind of how I started, is during our Friday Cashflow games, I started, they did that before I knew how to do math. So they just had me, you know, to make me feel involved, I got to roll my die and move my guy around. But I didn't actually do anything. But once I started learning math, I started participating more and learning more. And then I got to go and understand more at the real estate meetings.
She asked, how's our relationship with the tenants? How did we collect rent? And that's a good question. I do not know any of my tenants' names, and I do not collect the rent. I hire a property management company. Like I mentioned, I can't drive around, so I couldn't drive around, so I couldn't go out and pick up rent. I hired a management company that would show the house, get it rented out, hire people to fix up the property, and then they would, the tenants would go to the management company and pay rent there. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
What do I look for when I hire a property management company? I do not remember everything about that, but we do have a great video. If you go to our website, realpowerfamily.com, there's a free video that talks about how to hire a property management company and good questions to ask them.
Is that on our YouTube channel as well?
I believe that's also on our YouTube channel, which is also at Real Power Family.
And we also post like daily updates and shorts talking about small parts of real estate and just small nuggets of wisdom, I guess. Any more questions?
Yep.
This question is for Eden. Eden, with your 6 units, you bought $2,000, but you said it needed some repairs. How did you fund those repairs?
I used the income that came from the other 4 units that were rented, and I put that into getting the materials, but I did most of the work myself with the help of my dad, who's in a very discreet snakeskin jacket. But with the help of my family, again, it's a family bonding time, is the way I thought of it. So we just did it with that, and we didn't really hire people until we did some of the work, and then we got some income from those rented parts of the property, and then that's what funded it.
Yeah, I think you had raised your hand before. First property, how did we find the deal? Ethan's was, he happened to, you know, Ethan, you can tell.
Yeah, for the 6 unit, it was a contractor that worked for my dad. He had called my dad and said that he wanted out of the 6 unit, he wanted to sell. And my dad had told me that and brought that to me, and that's how I found mine.
And for me, a lot of my first deals, just a lot of them in general, I got from going to weekly meetings of real estate investors that wanted to meet up. And people will frequently enough come in there and say, hey, I'd like to sell this property. And that's how I got a lot of my deals. What do we do to get real estate leads coming in? Like, how do we advertise to buy our properties? Was her question. And a big part of that is we talk to people, and we haven't done a lot of direct mail or cold calling people. And we couldn't exactly say, with buyers
for dollars?
Yeah, drive for dollars. I mean, I guess if we rode a bike around, but that would be more difficult. So a lot of what we've done is you go to those real estate meetings, we talk to people. Hey, I heard that somebody talks about, they heard that this property is for sale. All right, look up, contact them. And yes, I would answer my phone or email, but that's generally just for the buying of the properties. How do I feel about investing in other markets, like other states? If done right, it can be very useful or profitable. So there are positives and negatives to that. Positives, it forces you to hire people. Positives, you can get, if you do it right, you can have more deals, cheaper deals, better deals, whatever that is. Although it does make it harder to go look at things, check up on things. So there are benefits and there are drawbacks to it. And it just matters how you set it up, is there a good management company there, and a few other things like that.
Yeah, it comes up with the problem of it's harder for you to check up on a management company, especially if they're newer. Like a former president said, trust but verify, and that just complicates it a little bit.
Yep.
Any great question?
I've heard comments sometimes about driving problems, but I remember that's like...
Oh, driving for dollars. That's, you drive around a neighborhood you want to buy in, and you see, hey, they have tall grass, boarded up windows, the property doesn't look like it's in great shape, and so you look up and you do research, and there's certain websites and stuff you use to figure out who owns that, and then you call them and talk to them, or maybe you go knock on their door and see if anyone answers and say, hey, was wondering if you were looking at selling this property. That's a very simplified version, or you can branch off with a bunch more stuff from that, but that is a very basic explanation. Yep. Pretty much everything is within 40 minutes of us, or at least 40 minutes of my management company, because that's where they manage. He asked, how do we check up on our property management company? And that's a great question. Property management companies, at least the one I use, and I know plenty of people do this, like if they send you reports of, like, hey, this is what the property's made and this is what we spent, looking at those, hey, this doesn't make sense, like, let's call them and ask them about this. Looking at which your properties are rented, which ones are vacant and why, what do we have open issues on, looking at any of the information they give you, and hey, this makes sense, hey, we need to work on this, hey, this doesn't make sense, let's talk to them.
Hey, why is my 6th unit not being rented? And then I can figure out, oh, hey, there's a problem with the insulation. I gotta go fix that.
Exactly. All right, we are running about out of time, but feel free to come and stop us and ask us questions anytime you see us during this event. Yeah, come talk to us, we'll give you a card.
And come, the bookstore, we're gonna have a book signing if you wanna get my book, The Treehouse, my brother's book, The Garage, If I Can Do It, So Can You. We have all those. We also have a parent's book, Family Success Triangle. talking about how they raised us. All of those in the bookstore, and you can come get a signed copy. And if you want to get Devin's third book or second book in the Karate series, The Fall and Rise Back is gold. It's only 99 cents for the Kindle version on Amazon. Go get that so he can hit number one. Because he is not very happy that I have the same amount of best-selling books as him.